In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, I mean, I felt it my first year. You know, you kind of get that just a little bit of sense of hatred, sense of urgency, you know, coming into this week. And that's kind of just the culture of, you know, the North. You know, we see these guys twice a year, and we're not big fans of each other. So that message gets passed down pretty easily.
But, you know, I mean, the Bears definitely has a different, you know, vibe, different energy to it. You know, regardless of, you know, if one of the teams is 1-9 or if, you know, both teams are, you know, undefeated, I feel like it's always going to be the same kind of energy. Regardless, it's going to be a, you know, a gritty game, you know, a tough game that's going to be a four-quarter battle. So, you know, I was going to go out there, try to, you know, get after them early, and, you know, hopefully it won't be a close game. I mean, the top spot's where we want to be. So, I mean, really, we're just starting with the NFC North. They're at the top of the NFC North right now. So, we're coming for that spot.
For the number one spot.
Because the Bears have it now. Packers are gunning for it. That's Evan Williams. Man, that bourbon is solid.
Good pitcher, too.
It's true.
It's pretty cheap.
It is, considering.
Affordable. Yeah. Not as cheap as Hawkeye vodka.
No, not that cheap. Nothing can be that cheap.
And then Christian Watson.
I thought he would be better.
He's good, though.
He is good, but I thought that he could be, like, game-changing better for them.
I think he's offense-changing for them.
You guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guys.
He has a lot of Guagi skills. But there's a trust from Jordan to him and an eagerness from Jordan to get him the ball and a serious go-get-it, whether it's up or side-to-side or whatever, for Christian. I feel like he changes their offensive ceiling. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's been hurt a lot. You see the inconsistencies of the games played for him. He's pretty productive when he plays. But they got a lot of targets, a lot of different people he can go to. But I just feel like he changes, you know, what's possible for that Packers offense when he's out there.
Yeah, I think he's really good. I just thought, I was like, oh, they got one of those. Like, they got the guy that Aaron Rodgers was waiting for them to get for years and years and years.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But if you look at the targets, you know, I don't know that he has received the targets that would merit even the skill set, because, I mean, Jaden Reed's been hurt all year for them, but they like him. They even like Dontavian Wicks, who comes up with big catches.
And Romeo Doubs comes up with big catches, man.
And there was a while where Bo Melton was one of their leading receivers over the last couple years. They got a lot of dudes, and they're all young, and Jordan's got chemistry with a lot of them.
And they've started to, I think, handle the Kraft injury better. I think when he got hurt, it shook them. Because he was doing so much for their offense, and now it looks like they've settled back down and, like, okay, here's where those targets are going to go. Here's how we're going to make up for a big weapon of our offense not being available.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a lot of different dudes. Dobbs has 71 targets on the year. Kraft's still second at 44. then it's Wicks, then Jacobs, then Watson, and then Golden is there, then Musgrave and Wilson, the running back, and then, I mean, they got a lot of different dudes. Heath, we hadn't even mentioned Malik Heath, so they're loaded with some dudes. It's delicious. It's a really good bar.
It is a good bar.
It's a very solid candy.
Let's talk about the defense of the Packers here for a second.
Goodness.
I was driving around this morning, and I was able to hear David and Ruthie. Mully was out today, and they had their opportunity to talk with Stacey Dales. And as we mentioned earlier, Stacey's locked in, right? Like, yeah. She is talking to people all around the country. And when it comes to Bears Packers, like, the NFC North has been her wheelhouse for a long time. So David asked her about the Bears offense and what it would look like against the Packers defense. Here's what she said.
Well, I think everybody right now realizes that downfield, Caleb Williams has not been particularly accurate and his completion percentage hasn't been particularly good and also under pressure. But there's a dilemma in that. So Caleb is 42% completion rate under pressure this season, under quarterback pressure, which is the fifth lowest in the NFL. So he's completing 42% of his passes under pressure. Here's the problem. In every conversation I have, and this included with the Eagles last week, because I, you know, talk to sources because I like to be informed when I have conversations like we're having right now. He has such great escapability. He's simply not taking sacks. I mean, he's not taking sacks to the point of, even when the thing isn't blocked up, Caleb isn't taking sacks. So when he's feeling that pressure, he's evading it. And that's a problem. And he's able to throw on the run. But, you know, given that, the completion percentage is down. I think, you know, you'd much rather take away the run game if you're the Green Bay Packers, which they've been really good at, than if you're going to give something up, than the passing game. But I think it's going to click at some point for the Bears. I really do. I mean, here's the thing, though, that they're so good, Green Bay. They don't give up a bunch of yards, so they're number four total defense in football. They give up 19 points a game, and they're particularly good against the division in terms of their scoring defense. They're sixth in the league. They're the eighth best rushing defense in the NFL, and they're sixth against the pass. So they're good in every forum. You know, where I think it's going to be very interesting is big plays. The Bears lead the NFL with 94 big plays.
It's crazy. Like,
you think about that. So I just said all that, in long-winded, and the Bears are the top big play. What is the big play? It's through the air, 20-plus yards in terms of completion, an attempt, and it's on the ground 10 or more yards. A lot of those big plays are run gains. So that's where the Bears are scorching you. They're scorching you with these big plays. They're scorching you with Caleb's legs, and he loves big moments. So he's going to take care of the football. We know that about Caleb. And Ben is going to put him in really advantageous situations to manage the game. And that's been their formula, and that's what the Packers have to figure out. They have to figure out Ben Johnson. Jeff Hafley has to figure out what Ben's next move is and take it away.
I am interested in the idea of making the Bears a passing team to try to get an advantage as a defense.
Because a lot of those big plays, by the way, have been run plays. Like she said, rushes of 10 yards or more, Bears far and away the most in the NFL.
How many?
54.
Good Lord.
The Ravens have 48, Buffalo 47. Bears have 54 runs of 10 yards or more. And that's a good way to get to that total of 94 big plays.
And you would think that, I don't want to say that the Packers would initially sell out against the run, although maybe that's part of the strategy. But I imagine it will be part of what they try to do, to put some pressure on the Bears to throw their, like, play into Parsons and Gary. Be like, we're going to take away the run. You want to try a pass? Okay, cool. We're going to set up Micah over the top of sure. your rookie left tackle that you're sending out there, either one of them.
Well, we talked a little while ago how they don't blitz much. If you're them, you know, maybe you bring a safety up. Let's say you bring a safety up because you're like, let's go ahead. Let's see what you can do. Caleb,
I dare you.
I dare you to go ahead and beat us over the top. And if it is a pass play, bring that safety. Bring that safety. And even though you're not typically a blitzing team, all of a sudden you are giving opportunities for Parsons, for Micah and Gary. Like, who knows what Jeff Hafley's going to do. It's the big question about the Bears' ceiling this year.
It's the roof.
Is what Stacey said. She said, I think that passing game is going to click at some point.
I do too.
Okay. Ben hopes it is. When Ben talked about, before he said the stuff yesterday about game management, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, when he said the stuff that was like, oh, wow, he's, yeah, that offensive game, passing game needs to go next level. He's wondering and he's waiting. Because if Caleb could beat you down the field when you sell out against the run, that's how you become a 35-45 point team. You know, I mean, that's how you can beat absolutely anybody.
That's how you get yourself a 15,000 square foot house in Scottsdale.
Seriously, though, man.
Like, notice, by the way, Stacey said manage the game.
Yes.
At the quarterback spot.
Yeah, because that's what you got to do. Micah has 6 sacks in the last 3 weeks.
He's really good at football.
He is the first player with 12 sacks in each of his first 5 seasons ever in the NFL.
Oh.
Every year.
So since ever, Jerry.
Since ever. So, well, at least since 82 when the NFL made an official stat. But the first 5 seasons, he's got 12 sacks every single year.
It feels like it's good. There's still 5 games left to play, too.
Yeah. There's a lot of football left to play. How about quarterback pressures?
I like pressures.
He's number 1 in quarterback pressures.
Even 70. With Myles Garrett doing what he's doing?
Yes, he has 70 quarterback pressures. That Lord. Is the most, according to NFL Next Gen Stats. You're right, 3rd in sacks because Myles Garrett has 19.
He's going to break the record this weekend.
This weekend. Probably this weekend. Then the Bears get him next week.
He's problematic.
Yeah, he
really I mean is. That from a football standpoint. As a citizen, he's like the best.
Miles?
Yeah.
Is he a good citizen?
He Quality? Seems so. Now he's dating Chloe Kim, right? Olympian, gold medalist Chloe Kim.
Oh, that's a cool couple.
Snowboarder.
She's got a good vibe.
And they seem to have a great vibe together.
That's excellent. See, look at that.
A lot of Olympic gold going around the NFL these days. Look at that. Simone Biles.
Mr. Biles, that would fit double date. Simone and Chloe and Miles and Jonathan.
Miles' neighbors probably love him because he's got that Halloween display every year with all the quarterbacks that he sacked with the little tombstones.
He can keep adding on. Gets it. He totally gets it. Let's hear from Mr. McKinney. And because I think this is a really good breakdown of, if you want to know how the Bears are viewed from the outside, I think this is an excellent breakdown. Here's what he's seeing from Ben Johnson.
It's a long time rivalry, and you know, had really good back and forth for a long time. But it was fun, just the atmosphere playing against them. You could feel the energy when we play against them. Every time we play them, we know what they're going to bring competition-wise, and you know they know the same from us. So it's always a fun game to play, fun environment to be in, and obviously the fans enjoy it, so it's fun.
What's the difference you notice in them offensively this year?
They're creative. The play calling is a lot more creative than what they've done in the past. And then obviously, you know, they've got playmakers on their team. So then you add, obviously, Ben Johnson as their AC calling the plays. And it seems to me as if, you know, the playbook is really open. And, you know, he's open to doing anything. And he has the, you know, they have the personnel to be able to do that. So I've noticed the creativity in that.
They sneak up on you at all this year?
No, not really. What's crazy, because were they last year in the division? Mm-hmm. What's crazy is, like, even last year they had a good team. But, you know, sometimes, you know, all the pieces aren't, you know, where they need to be. And obviously you had Caleb, he was still a rookie quarterback. But he's got some games under his belt. He's a good player. And now you've got that AC that's, you know, not afraid to call those plays and, you know, not afraid to get creative with what he's doing. So, you know, they did not, for me, they didn't really sneak up. I knew they were going to be good, especially when they got, when they ended up getting Ben Johnson. I was like, okay, they're going to have to be a problem this year. So, yeah.
What's the biggest area of growth you've seen from Caleb over the last year?
Better decision making. You know, I think, you know, last year, I think there was times where, like, And even I think if you saw it in college, like, there are times where, you know, he's extending the plays and he's making a lot of plays, but sometimes he was, like, forcing it when he didn't really need to. But now he's kind of balancing that now where it's, like, he knows when and when not to force, but then still being able to make plays, whether that's with his feet or with his arm. So he's a talented quarterback, and, you know, he's going to be really – he's going to turn into a special one for this league.
They were 8-3 a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were number one in the North, and it sounds like you weren't totally shocked if you've been tracking them. But when they do go into Philly and win, how much does that kind of open your eyes of where they're at?
Yeah, I mean, it shows that they're a serious team. It shows that you know, they're not messing around. They're trying to do exactly what we're trying to do. And so I think that's a good thing about it. Is, you know, you get, you know, two really good teams in the same division that are, you know, ultimately trying to do the same thing, win the division and then, you know, win a Super Bowl. So it's gonna be a good game, and you know, we can't wait to go out there and compete and challenge them.
I'm really glad we've heard so much from Xavier McKinney this week. Even just the two cuts today, that's the Packers' safety. That is a very smart football player. Like the way he was breaking down all things Caleb and mm-hmm. Ben and everything.
Seems prepared, doesn't he?
Seems incredibly well prepared. Like his analysis of Caleb as a guy who sometimes extends plays when he doesn't need to, but he's doing less of that now, but still able to make big plays with his arm. And his feet was like, oh, wow, that's a guy who's really watching a lot of tape and really getting ready for this game in a very intelligent way. And
defensive backs who play for Nick Saban, they better be elite, and they better be guys that think the game. I love this text. I was oddly surprised at how well McKinney spoke of the Bears. I don't like it. I get that. I get that. You're like, because when you hear it, you're like, oh, they know.
Oh, yeah, they know.
Like, this isn't a surprise to them. Like, they're very aware of what's going on here.
Well, John Kuhn says still maybe 2 years away.
Yeah, he did say that.
See, we gave the Bears bulletin board material. Yeah. There it is.
We're good at that. That's a show.
That's what I heard. Something like that.
Whether it's deserved or not, we're really good at that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I don't like the way they talk about the Bears. Like they know us. Like they, you know, like they do. They're ready. They're ready for, that's for why this jelly.
That's why this is fun. It's fun because both teams are good.
Yeah.
It's fun because something is on the line,
dude. It's
now.
Sometimes the A team, you know, anybody? Thank you. That's what
Tanny was part
for.
Of the A team.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He was.
Yeah.
That's back when clowns made you bicycles.
Well, clowns still make me bicycles.
They still
thanks
do.
To you.
They
did you pay that
do.
Guy?
I did. I took care of Balloon Dave. Dave Fleming, the great Balloon Dave. But yeah, you know, it's like it's the A team, the broadcast team. Is on the game, not because, well, you know, Bears-Packers is always big. We should be on it. No, they're on it because these are two of the best teams in the NFC.
Yes.
They're atop the standings, and it is massively impactful on the entire league, on the playoff structure, in your fantasy league, like everywhere. This is just flat out a big, big game this time.
If you went back 6 weeks, it wasn't that odd to say that the Packers could win the NFC. And they went through that lull. And since then, they've been on a three-game win streak. And we've been talking about the impact that Micah Parsons has had mm-hmm. on them. This is a really good football team with a very interesting quarterback. And he's the type of guy that can play you in or play you out. It feels like he plays them out of more games, but that's not the reality. It just feels like it.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of big plays. And sometimes you watch... You talk about arm talent. You got two guys with incredible arm talent. Some of the throws that you see Jordan Love make, you're like, how did he do that? Like, how was he able to whip that pass while falling backwards?
Mm-hmm.
And it somehow still have touch on it. These are two guys that are very impressive in that regard. It scares me a little bit, that number that Stacey threw out about the pressure and... Will you see, like what you're talking about, Speak, some simulated stuff with knowing that the two guys on the end for Green Bay can get home on their own, that they don't need help.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you make Caleb think that there's going to be more happening that's actually happening. So the cat and mouse of it is fascinating.
The last eight games, Jordan Love has been over 70% in six of them. Six of the last eight games. He has thrown 13 touchdowns in those last eight games and just three interceptions. So he's playing at a very, very high level.
That's pretty good and makes him very, very dangerous. Dangerous.
Yeah.
We got into a discussion a couple days ago that we put up online, and there were people who were mad at the concept of it. And since then, we've heard the Bears head coach say the exact same thing. We heard Stacey Dales say the exact same thing. We want to try and distinguish between being someone who manages a game and someone who we are talking about with derision as a game manager. We'll explain next here on The Score.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think when I made that comment yesterday, it's easily to construe it as I'm not happy with the quarterback. That's not the case whatsoever. He continues to get better each and every week. And I couldn't be more pleased with how he played last week. And I know what the stats say. Throw those out the window. He's doing a really good job managing the ball game.
Ben said about your game in Philly. He said take the stats, throw it out.
Yeah, take the stats out. Go watch some ball, and you know you'll be able to really see.
He was really complimentary about how you manage that game. Like, what have you learned about being a quarterback and managing a football game?
Yeah, that's a part of quarterback.
It's true. It is a part of being a quarterback, but people have come to not like that term associated with their quarterback because it makes you think of other quarterbacks who weren't good, who were being passengered on their way to winning a division, a conference, or winning a Super Bowl. When we're talking about the act of managing a game,
that's different than calling someone just a game manager. Right? That's the semantics thing. It's like labeling someone, you know, disparagingly. That guy, he's just a game manager. But no, Jared Goff does a brilliant job of managing the game.
Yep.
For Ben Johnson's former team, the Lions. And as Ben worked with him, he, I'm sure, was in love with Jared Goff's ability to manage a game. So what does that mean? It means handing the ball off to the back in the right spot. It means using your timeouts on your own without having the coach have to tell you all the time. It means when to take your shots down the field. It means when to take your checkdowns and just accept it. It means when to throw the ball away and not put it in harm's way. When is it an acceptable risk moment when it is not? There's more, right? Like, what else falls under game management? Distributing the ball, knowing that a guy really needs a target so he can stay emotionally involved. That's some next level game management that a point guard, quarterback needs to do. Going up to a player and talking to them and getting them excited about their role in this particular play, getting somebody to lock back in. All of that is game management, which needs to come, as Ben said, before your skills can even take place. Can't just go out there with your skills and not be good at managing the game. But for decades, we have heard people disparagingly called game managers, and that's a different thing than the skill itself.
Jalen Hurts was Super Bowl MVP, and he managed most of the season for the Eagles. And in the two Super Bowls that he's played in, when asked to do more, he has been incredible.
There you go.
Incredible.
That's it. Can you do more when it's called upon? Only do what you need to win the game. Don't do more than you need to. Just manage the situation. But when you got to rise above, you got it? Do we know that Caleb has it?
Yes, we've seen it in fourth quarters. Like, that's been, as long as this season has gone on, with the marriage of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, you've heard me talk about Jared Goff a lot. And how I hope that Caleb plays like Jared Goff. And then there are people who scoffed at that. There are people like, well, he's better than... And like, look at the numbers that Jared Goff has put up. Even this season, when you think things are all out of whack for them, Jared Goff is completing almost 70% of his passes, has thrown 25 touchdowns so far this year. Okay, he's going to go over 4,000 yards again in his career by managing. The thing with Caleb is there's some extra special stuff that he has in his bag of tricks that when the opportunity presents itself, he can then do it. And I would offer up as a sub, like I thought that his game last week was a perfect example of I'm managing the game, but in the moment when you need the knockout blow.
The Cole Kmet touchdown is it. And that's why we did multiple segments on it on Monday, because he managed that game really, really well. But that moment, that pass to Kmet was exquisite. The thing is...
And the decision-making.
Absolutely. Decision-making was incredible because it was second down. And he went away from Ben Johnson's simplicity. He had the check down. He had OZ for the check down to get the first down and keep the chains moving. But he's like, I don't know. I see Cole. I think I can put that there. And he put it on him. What has concerned me all year has been the touch on deep balls. Because if you're going to be a really good game manager. Every time now I'm tempted to say manager of the game because I feel like it says less. It implies less. It disparages less. If you're going to be a good manager of the game, when the opportunity is there for the deep ball, you got to hit it. Jalen Hurts is great at hitting the deep balls when they're there. He's great at when they get that one-on-one coverage with Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown, putting it up there in a spot with enough of an arc and enough of a touch and accuracy that those guys can come down with it and make the play. That's what's missing with regularity so far for Caleb. And that's when I think about the passing game going next level, like Ben talked about earlier in the week, I need to see Caleb hit the shots when they're there. The Pittsburgh game, he missed two deep ones, right? Mm-hmm. DJ got open and Rome, and they had to be talked about. They won the game, and Caleb made a lot of good plays. But you want to go next level as an offense, You got to force them with your managing of the game to give you options eventually down the field and then hit them.
Here's another way that I would describe this to try and separate it from its negative connotations.
Okay.
You're never going to unleash, and I don't mean to disparage this guy, but just as an example, you are never, ever going to unleash Chad Pennington. There was never going to be a point.
It's a great reference.
When you were going to say, all right, Chad, go win us the game.
You had to win the way that those teams won. That with Trent Dilfer and the Ravens, you didn't have options but to win that way. And you had to. These days in the NFL, you want to have that higher ceiling because you need to against some teams. With the nature of offense and the way that points get scored, you're going to need to be able to do that. Frankly, we lived it with Justin.
Yes.
We lived this exact thing with Justin, where in the fourth quarter, when you had to go back and throw sometimes, Justin was not capable of executing. And to your point, Caleb in the fourth quarter, Bears offense in the fourth quarter, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
They have the most big plays in the NFL in the fourth quarter with 29. They have the most points scored in the NFL in the fourth quarter with 54, ahead of the Niners, the Chiefs, and the Bills.
We know from sideline audio, from stuff that Ben Johnson has said at the podium, Caleb has said about Ben Johnson, that there have been moments this season where Ben has been like, all right, go get it.
Go get him. You know what you do.
This is what you were built for. Go get like that. That, to me, is the difference. That we're talking about what I think is unique about Caleb, honestly, is that he is comfortable in these moments where it is on his shoulders. I think the place that we've gotten to with him is that now he understands that he doesn't have to. That he doesn't have to do all of the stuff all of the time. And in moments when he's been asked to, hey, this game has gotten out of hand, man. We need a big play. I got you. There's Colston Loveland. I'm going to throw a rocket over the middle, over the linebacker to get a ball to Colston Loveland in the open field.
You're right. You're right. So we've now will we see it in what Ben likes to call the middle eight? As J.J. Watt referred to it, that was 4 minutes before halftime, the 4 minutes after halftime, or like the second quarter and the third quarter. Bears are not as good in the second and the third as they are in the first when Ben is scripting everything, and it's gorgeous. I mean, his scripts are unbelievable.
And in late game situations where you can go, hey, Caleb.
Just go ahead and ball.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, go do it. And he does it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Like, what we're talking about is the key to the whole thing. Caleb's football maturity is what has been questioned at times in these first year and a half. His understanding of game situation, his understanding and his ability to integrate better mechanics into everything. His ability to look deeper into the route tree and not just go to the primary guy. So when I see those things improving and Ben talking about like, yeah, you know, he got through his progressions. He talked about that earlier in the week on some of the incompletions. At least he got through his progressions. Okay, well, maybe next time he'll get through the progressions and be accurate. Like to roam in the front pylon, you know, when he's open for a touchdown. That stuff matters to me. When I hear Ben praise the managing of the game, that stuff matters a great deal to me. That's the stuff I want to see improving. It's not all the way there. It's still very much a work in progress. And frankly, I think it has been a surprise that it needed to be worked on as much as it has. And that stuff did not need to be worked on for Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Bo Nix.
Well,
not as much.
Not as much, but I also think that that's part of the issue here is that because of the industrial draft complex, that people walked into it being like, oh, he's a finished product and he's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
No, I'm actually having more fun as someone who was skeptical of Caleb, of watching how it's all starting to Tetris together for him. And you see the incredible stuff and you go, wow, now they have a run game that they can match with some of that. And it takes pressure off of him. if it's a weird thing because I feel like what Ben Johnson and his whole offensive staff have done is they put stress on Caleb to take stress off of him. That maybe if we were talking to Caleb in an honest moment in August or September, he would be like, man, my head's swimming. There's a lot going on here. And I just want to make sure that I get everything right. And sometimes when I'm seeing stuff, like I know I can go make a play, so I go make a play. And as the offense has evolved throughout the season, now Caleb gets to go, I completely understand why these concepts are married together, and I know where those plays are that I can take a shot. I can take a chance on my guys to go and make a play. I'm going to give them a runner's ball, that sort of thing, where now we aren't seeing some of the mistakes that we saw earlier. It just feels like a better environment.
It is. You know, it's fascinating because – you know, Caleb, as a texter says, game manager is a dirty term when you're the number one pick, generational talent. But it shouldn't be because it's football and you have to try to find a way to win games. And good for Ben for pivoting and good for Caleb for being willing to pivot because your draft status. Hell, Ben said it today about Ozzie Trapillo versus Theo Benedet.
When you walk in the door, throw your draft status out the window.
Yeah, I guess it was yesterday you said that. But yes, you know, when you walk through the door, throw your draft status away. Whatever. Whatever your draft status was. How are we going to win a game? How are we going to win games this week? And this is the way to win games. So credit Ben for the pivot and credit Caleb for being willing. And that's where we are. I still think you got to add that next level of being accurate down the field.
I think you're going to get there. That's the thing. And I know that he's not there now.
But that Cole Kmet touchdown made you think maybe he is, right? There was one.
Caleb's game last week, when you add in the elements,
yeah,
man, he was really impressive.
Yeah, it was some.
And I know the stats NFL don't stuff. Don't necessarily bear it out.
Throw them out. They're just whoop-de-doo. They're just whoop-de-doo.
They're
if Luther Burden and DJ Moore don't fall down on those wrap-ins, stats, I feel like better. We're having a completely different conversation.
Not completely different, but, you know, because we're watching the whole year and we're thinking about the whole year. But I hear you. The stats would be a lot better. And Caleb said as much, that they looked and some of the routes were a little off and some guys slipped.
And the whoop-de-doo.
And the whoop-de-doo.
The whoop-de-doo is a big thing.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations to Brother Rice. Brother Rice just won the 7A state championship over St. Rita. Ooh, the South Side is going to be popping tonight, boy. Ooh, Rita and Rice. Look at them, a nice little handshake line. Mount Carmel will be playing Oswego in the 8A championship. By the way, those games, not that they pay me, but that game is on WCIU if you want to watch it. And they had to split up the two state championship matchups. 5A and 6A were played down at ISU, but ISU is getting ready to play in their playoff game, so they needed their stadium. Huh. So 7A and 8A are played at Northern. As a matter of fact, I'm Brock Spack.
I was just going to say, is Brock Spack still the coach down there?
He is. He's going to be on House of L.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Love talking with my guy, Brock Spack. He's a good man.
I once went to a game down there, and they were giving out fake Brock Spack mustaches to everybody.
It's a quality mustache.
Everybody was wearing it.
There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. When we come back, Michael Jordan is going to tell you about one of his vices. Ooh, next, cool. Here on The Score.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby. If I had a problem, I'd be starving. I'd be hawking this watch. My championship rings. I would sell my house. I would do this. My wife would left me or she'd be starving. My kids would be starving. I do not have a problem.
That's Michael Jordan talking about gambling. Didn't have a problem because his kids would be starving. It's not how it works, really. Michael joins.
That's not what he talked about, though, with Tirico.
No?
Tanny's just messing with you.
Of course he is. It's a different vice. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. I don't know it yet. I'm about to hear it.
The song kind of says it, but you'd have to know the song.
Does it have something to do with sugar?
A little bit.
Yeah, like sweetness. Is it about ice cream?
Yes, very good.
Thank you very much.
Yes, very much so.
I just guessed the vice, that's all.
They don't call you the music person for nothing.
Sometimes they do, for nothing.
Here's what MJ had to say about one of his favorite vices.
So it's May. My season's been over. I'm a third-year guy in the league. I call you, Michael. What do I do from now until the season starts to get better? What are the things you tell me that are important?
First of all, it's your passion. You know, it's something about your passion or wanting to get better that drives that energy. I mean, when I say passion, that means if I have a love for ice cream, I mean, real deep love for ice cream, I'm going to do everything I can to go find ice cream.
Right.
Or find that flavor of ice cream.
What flavor, by the way?
Butter pecan for me.
Okay, good.
Just so you know. Uh-huh. But in terms of, you know, if I had, if basketball was that type of love for me.
Butter pecan.
That's his favorite.
Come on, Mike.
No, that actually tracks.
Why?
A brother from North Carolina, that tracks.
Yeah, but I mean, we've improved. We've gotten better at ice cream.
We have.
It happened in the 80s. Like when Baskin-Robbins invented pralines and cream, okay? Butter pecan has not been the best flavor in that particular profile group since pralines and cream hit the scene.
But you got to understand that MJ is an old soul and he probably fell in love with that early on and has not changed
I get
from it.
I get it. And I can respect that. I can respect that. At Thanksgiving, my brother-in-law, his sister, who I guess is my sister-in-law, I think so, she made flan from, they're Puerto Rican, and she made flan. Their family recipe.
Wait, wouldn't this just be your wife's sister?
No, that's the thing. It's
okay.
It's my wife's sister's.
Blended family.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's confusing. But anyway, they made flan, and we just stood there in the kitchen talking about the flan. We made sweet conversational love to that flan.
You showed us that flan, and I'm not really a flan guy because of the texture, but dude, that was some flan that I would have gone ham.
And the way they were talking about it, it was their late mother's recipe, and they just stood there like expressing their love for their late mother through the flan.
Your brother-in-law owes me something. I don't know if it was empanadas, but he said that when we were in Vegas, he was like, hey, I'm going to bring you some blah, blah, blah. And I forgot what he said, but he owes me some food.
Yeah. Oh, I'll hit him up. I'll hit him up.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, because that man.
Because you guys both were talking about eating at his house. And I was like, wait a minute.
It's crazy.
I, too, would enjoy that.
You know what? He'll come in and use the kitchen. He's a badass.
I'm with that, too. We don't use that kitchen enough.
No, we don't.
We are using the kitchen tomorrow.
I eat the ice cream all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the ice cream.
Ah!
Matt Forte is going to be with us tomorrow. He's going to be signing copies of his book.
My God.
And that's all he's going to be signing.
He ate the butter pecan. Oh, yeah, that's all. Matt won't be signing. Don't bring your stuff.
The mini helmets and all that stuff.
Oh, the mini helmet crowd.
Be ready to buy his book. And if you already bought it, bring that, and then he'll sign it. And if you haven't bought it, that's okay, too, because we'll have copies of the book here.
Yeah.
And you can buy it, and he can sign it, and you can say hi to him and all that good stuff. He's also going to be on the show.
Tomorrow's going to be a whole thing. Matt's going to be on the show, and then we're just going to talk about the book and sign books. Dave Wannstedt will be there, and Wani will be in the studio with us on the stage. We're also going to do listener categories.
It worked out really well last time.
Good luck, everybody.
We hope that it'll work out well this time. Tonight, the Bulls host the Nets at the United Center. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 on the Score on the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Helly Forklifts. And speaking of this game that we've been talking about all week, before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in Sunday from 12 to 3:25. A little late start for our guys. I like that they don't have to get up early. They can sleep in a little bit. Your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the postgame show streamed exclusively on YouTube and Twitch. The postgame show is presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
That's a wrap!
So that's why Mike didn't play well at first in Utah, but survived. It wasn't a flu game. It was the ice cream game.
Well, I ate the ice cream all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the ice cream.
If we're going top three flavors for you, where you go?
Pralines and cream, deep chocolate peanut butter.
Oh.
Haagen-Dazs makes one. It's just unbelievable. And then Chubby Hubby. Ben and Jerry's Chubby Hubby with the peanut butter filled chocolate covered pretzels.
Tanny?
I would go black cherry, mint chocolate
black
chip.
Cherry.
Yeah, that's right. And
black cherry.
If you could find it, German chocolate. Some companies make it. Moomers up there in Michigan, they make it. Yeah, German chocolate.
You're a strange individual.
Alex?
Chocolate, cookie dough, peanut butter chunk, ube.
Look at this guy.
Really?
Ready ube to go. Is very, very good.
Lawrence?
Jenny's milkiest chocolate number one.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's Caramel Sutra.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's got the whole like the line of caramel down the middle, right?
And this doesn't
the
count.
Core.
I don't know if this necessarily counts, but Oreo caramel concrete mixer from Culver's.
Sure that counts.
I am a fiend for that. An absolute fiend.
Understood.
All right. We thank you so much for the love and support that you show this show every day. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, we will try to repay the favor tomorrow. Big show. Matt Forte is going to be on it. Wani's going to be on it. You don't want to miss it. Bears-Packers week continues. It's going to be awesome. We will see you at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
You got it. Great talking.
Thanks.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season,
from Crimes of the Paranormal, Unsolved Murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.